a gift of love. I suppose whenever God decided to come and be in this world to be one of us, as an expression of love, God thought, what better way is there than to come as a baby? Babies, you see, are the purest expression of love. Babies love. They can't say it. They can't necessarily express it in adult ways, but babies and children love. Because you see, a baby is the purest expression of the nature of God. Babies also need to be loved. Sadly, many babies in our world today and throughout history have not been loved with a mother's genuine love. But when God chose to come to this world, God came to a young 15, 16-year-old girl, virgin, and had a message for her. God said, I'm choosing you to be the one to carry my child. I'm choosing you to be the one to give birth to my son. I'm choosing you to show my son what love is about. You see, he needs to learn what human love is all about, and what better way to learn it than from a mother. And then, all of a sudden, one day, Mary is startled by this mysterious being who confronts her and says, "Hello, Mary, I have good news for you. Have you ever had a confrontation with an angel? Did an angel ever walk up to you and say, hi, I want to talk to you, I have something to tell you?" I don't know that I've ever had any experience like that, because I'm not sure what an angel would look like. I'm not sure. How would an angel talk? I am convinced that God has many, 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 many ways of bringing his message to us. And as I look back over my life, I can see many times when people talk to me at important times in my life, and I think they were angels. But who is this Mary, anyways? You see, the prophet Isaiah, and we talked about Isaiah last week, Isaiah prophesied that a virgin would conceive. Strange, isn't it? A virgin? Conceiving? Bearing a child? Strange, isn't it? And yet that angel told Mary, I've chosen you to be the one to carry my son, to birth him, and be that mother to him that he needs. Every baby needs a mama. Who is this Mary? Well, Mary was Typically, in their culture, a young lady was promised in marriage somewhere in the age of 14, 15. And they were, in the community in which they were, the parents of the bride and the parents of the groom had arranged this relationship, this marriage. A dowry was paid, a ceremony was held, a feast was put on, and everybody in the community was invited. And they were pledged to each other. They were considered married in the eyes of the community, except that they were not supposed to cohabitate. They were not supposed to have sexual relationships. They were supposed to live separately and use probably maybe 1 to 2 years time to prepare for their consummation, whenever their wedding would be completed, and they could then go to live together. And oftentimes the woman would go to the household of the family of the husband, and she would become a part of that new household. And therefore, a dowry was paid because the women were the ones who did most of the work. And so there was another worker to be involved in this family. And so a dowry was paid to the family of the woman to be married. And Mary and Joseph were betrothed, engaged. Next week, I hope to talk more about Joseph and tell you a little more about his perspective in the whole thing. But remember, their community and their regulations and the rules in their community were they were not to be living together, and it was important that she be a virgin until the time they were finally married. Mary and Joseph had already been betrothed to each other, engaged, committed to each other. The community saw them as a couple. Therefore, when the angel said, "Mary," you're going to be pregnant, you're going to be giving birth to a son. Mary said, Oh no. How can that be? I'm a virgin. How can I conceive?" And the angel said some very interesting things to her. He said, "You remember the prophet Isaiah said many years ago that a virgin will conceive? It's kind of strange and kind of difficult to understand, but with God, everything is possible. And when God has said something, it will be fulfilled. All I'm asking you to do, Mary, is to believe and to trust me in this process." And I imagine she then says, Oh God, why me? Why me? Do you realize what I'm going to have to experience from my community when it becomes obvious that I'm pregnant in this time of engagement? I've not had a relationship with Joseph, and yet it's going to be obvious that I'm pregnant. You know what the neighbors are going to say? You know what my friends are going to do? You know what all the people in the community are going to say? They're going to say all these things. Mary and Joseph were messing around. And but then she says, and in verse 38, it's recorded, after she pondered it a little bit, she responded and she said, "May it be to me as you have said." In other words, I am willing to accept. I'm willing to receive this gift of love, and I am willing to go through whatever I need to go through to carry this child and give him birth, because I realize it's part of God's plan for my life. Now let me back up just a little bit. We're here today to honor Mary, not worship her, but to honor her. Because there are several things about this story about Mary that I think are good for us to notice and to emulate and to follow. She is a model for us in some very, very important ways. To put it simply, she had the sensitivity to know when it was God who was coming to her. Remember, an angel is a mysterious being. The message itself was mysterious, almost beyond comprehension. And when she did finally figure out that it was an angel or a messenger from God, she immediately was afraid. The text even said that she was fearful, because the common belief was that whenever I get a message from God, it's going to be an ominous message. There's going to be something terrible about it, or judgmental, or something that's telling me that I've done wrong, or something that's going to happen to me. Some ominous kind of thing. Surely, surely, this can't be. Everything tells me that this just isn't so. But Mary has the sensitivity to be able to understand and to know that it's God speaking to her. And it's God asking her to respond. I wonder how many times God has spoken to us and we haven't heard. You see, most of us have an idea about the way God should speak to us. God speaks in church or reading the Bible or whatever, you know. And when God comes in some mysterious form through somebody speaking to me and somebody saying something really strange and off the wall, for us to be able to understand and to hear God in it. Evidently, her mother had taught her well. She was schooled. She understood the history, the prophet Isaiah. When I say schooled, that doesn't mean she was educated, because in all likelihood, a 15-year-old girl would not be educated. If education, it was only for the males. She didn't know how to read or write, but she had an understanding of her faith and her tradition. And when the angel said about, I have chosen you to be that person that was spoken of back there in the prophet Isaiah, a virgin. I have chosen you to be that virgin. So the first thing is that Mary is an example of a person who has a sensitivity to be able to hear God. Now, we could talk for a while, but just suffice it to say, we need to want to hear God. Sometimes we get so busy and our life gets so noisy and we get so involved with our things that we can't hear God. But secondly, Mary is also an example of a person who had a profound faith. That she was able to understand it was God speaking to her, even this wild idea, totally absurd, unfathomable idea. How could a virgin conceive? Just isn't possible. Mary has a measure of faith that I think is profound. I marvel at this young girl, maybe We commonly think that she might have been probably 15, at the most 16 years old. How she could have such a faith to believe and to know and to understand that God is part of it and is actually God speaking to her. And that somehow or another God's going to work out all those impossible parts of it. She had the faith to believe that God would be there to walk with her, especially as she experienced all of the rejection and the criticism and the judgment that she knew she would receive. Next week, we'll talk about Joseph's part in all of this as well, because you see, she also knew Joseph was going to be criticized just the same as she. She had faith to believe that God was in it, and that God would help her, and God would provide the way for her to get through this process, and that God was in it, and God was speaking to her, and that God would continue to bless her and empower her. Human reaction oftentimes is when we hear God speak to us, we say, that's not possible. That can't be God speaking to me. It's not possible, and it doesn't make sense. It's just not logical. Well, folks, I have news for you. Many things that God asks us to do aren't according to human logic. God's just a little bit bigger than our logic and our thinking. In fact, quite a bit bigger. But oftentimes we limit God and God's message to us when we say, now this is just not possible, God. Surely there's got to be some other way to do it. And this must not be of God because it just doesn't make sense. Well, what about the Christmas story makes sense? Because God's love goes far beyond our comprehension or our boxes that we want to put God into. You see, God's plan is far bigger than we can ever understand. And that's what Christmas is all about. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. Christmas is all about God's love given to us and for us to share with others. But there's one more thing I want to talk about that Mary is an example to us, and that is surrender. I think Mary is one of the most beautiful expressions of surrender to God's will that you will ever find in all of the Bible and all of history. And that's why we honor Mary today, because there is something about surrender that I think is at the very heart of what God wants us to do. Mary needed to surrender her own ideas and her plans and her dreams for her marriage. And I'm sure she had the same kind of dreams that people everywhere have had about marriage. All the wonderful things, starting a new family, etc., etc., etc. A husband who was getting his own carpentry business going to support her. She knew he was a loving man. But she had no idea what Joseph was going to do when he found out that she was pregnant. We'll talk about that next week. Mary needed to surrender all of herself to God's plan, God's design. God surrendered his son for us as a gift of love. Mary surrendered her life plans to fulfill God's plan for her to bring God's Son into the world. And God is calling us to surrender ourselves to also bring God's love into our world. No, we won't be asked to carry a physical baby named Jesus, but God asks us to share and to carry his love to our world today, just as surely as he asked Mary to carry the baby. But we oftentimes have all kinds of excuses as to why we don't want to give up what I want to do. But Christmas and the challenge of Mary at this point says, how much are we willing to surrender our lives to God's plan for us? She is the example of someone who was willing to do that. And folks, I want to close with this thought. True spirituality, spiritual maturity, is not based on how much I do. Some people think, well, I read the Bible daily, I go to church all the time, I do all these things. Surely God notices things. I praise God, I do all of these things that make me spiritual. But the reality is, folks, true spirituality is seen in the extent to which I am willing to surrender myself to God, to do what God is calling me to do, and not let my own selfish desires and interests and all of these things stop God. Because you see, we limit God. We limit God's ability to move in our world. We limit God's love by doing our thing instead of being surrendered to God. But Mary is an example of someone who had the sensitivity to be able to hear God. She had the faith to trust that God was in this whole plan, no matter how illogical or difficult it was, and that she was willing to trust God in that process. But finally, ultimately, she was willing to surrender her life to God. Do you think that in any way helped Jesus to be able to pray that prayer of surrender in the garden just before his crucifixion, when he said, not my will, but yours be done? You see, he had lived his whole life seeing in his mother an example of surrender to God and what God was calling her to do. And Jesus did likewise. God calls us also to surrender ourselves to be able to share his love with our world. That's what Christmas is all about, dear Lord. We get so wrapped up in doing our thing. And so many of us are doing so many good things. But help us, O God, to realize it's not about the good things that I do in and of myself, but it's what you are calling us to do, to surrender our lives to you, to share your love. Thank you for the example that Mary is to each of us today. And help us, O God, to be faithful in carrying your love into our world. For it's in your name I pray. Amen.